Donald Walsh grew up near San Francisco in the 1930s. Among his earliest memories is the mega construction project he saw from his home in the Berkeley Hills.
Namely, the Golden Gate Bridge. And I used to watch all the ships in the bay going out over the horizon to the west and wondering what was going on there. And I really, I think from that age on, as maybe 7 or 8 years old, I really got keen about going to the sea and knowing about the ocean.
Walsh graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1954. A chance assignment in 1958 led him to the Trieste. He tested the free-diving self-propelled submersible, one of only two in existence at the time, on increasingly deep dives off the California coast.
Then they told me about the plan to take it out to the island of Guam and dive to the deepest place in the ocean, 7 miles, roughly, and that really got my attention because I knew I was going to be part of it.
The Trieste is now on permanent display at the Naval Museum in Washington. The bathyscaphe is over 16 meters long, and its gasoline-filled flotation chambers deck, rails, and conning tower make it look a bit like a submarine.
Basically, it is an underwater balloon. You've got two parts to it. You've got the balloon here, which is this long cylindrical object, and that's filled with a lighter-than-water substance, which is aviation gasoline. Oil floats on water. So you get buoyancy or lift. And then beneath the balloon, you have a cabin for the fragile humans.
That cabin is a 14-ton spherical steel capsule, only 2 meters in diameter, with a single half-meter-wide circular plastic window for viewing. There's just enough room for two people. Walsh was joined on Trieste's historic dive by co-pilot Swiss scientist Jacques Piccard, whose father, Auguste Piccard, had designed the craft. On January 23, 1960, the two took Trieste to the deepest point in the Pacific Ocean's Mariana Trench, a ravine called Challenger Deep. The success of that mission opened the door for deep-sea exploration. Walsh says humbly he grabbed an opportunity that others would later follow.
We do see our bits of our DNA all over today's underwater vehicles, both manned and unmanned, because the things that we develop, remember, almost everything we did on here was a first. Not because we were pioneers or inventors. It was literally, you know, necessity's the mother of invention. We needed something, we had to invent it.
Over his long naval career, Walsh served in both the Korean and Vietnam Wars, commanded a submarine, and worked as a policy advisor and assistant to the Secretary of the Navy. When he retired from the Navy in 1975, he accepted a position at the University of Southern California,
where I was founded a new Institute of Marine and Coastal Studies. I had the academic rank of dean.
He was also a tenured professor of ocean engineering. Walsh spent 8 years in academia. The retired Navy captain continued to pursue his passions as a scuba diver, private pilot, and explorer, participating in dozens of ocean dives and expeditions to the polar regions.
I define exploration as curiosity acted upon. So people can look at things and be curious about them, but if you're an explorer, you want to know why and how, and maybe develop an experiment to test the hypothesis. To me, it's always being able to look around the next corner and see what's going on.
Still vibrant at 78, Walsh lives on the Oregon coast and runs his own consulting business. He was in Washington recently to pick up two esteemed awards, the Navy Distinguished Public Service Medal and the Hubbard Award from National Geographic, the Society's highest honor. No human has returned to the deepest part of the ocean, although remotely operated vehicles have. Walsh applauds those advances in technology, but laments that most of the world's deep oceans remain unexplored and that only a handful of vessels, manned or unmanned, exist to do the job. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.